This is The Dugout, every Tuesday at 1 with Bump and Stacy. Inside access to the clubhouse from Shannon Dreher on Seattle Sports, the home of the Mariners.
It is The Dugout. Joining us now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline, it is Mariners starting pitcher Bryce Miller. Bryce, how's it going?
Going good. Feels good to be down in Texas.
That was my first question for you. I was going to say, so obviously you guys are in Arlington, and you're from, is it Braunfels?
New Braunfels.
New Braunfels. What is it like? I mean, you've been back in Texas, obviously, since being with Seattle, but I mean, is there anything you do when you go back to Texas? Is it just feel good to be back? What's it like?
No, I'm about 4 hours from home, so it's still a little ways from home, but it definitely feels good. I mean, coming out of Colorado, it was snowing, so I think today it's like 70 degrees here, so I'll take that.
Bryce, what up, man? Thanks for joining us. My first question has nothing to do with baseball. You know, we watched your last performance and love what we saw, but I also saw the necklace, man. I was like, ooh, that is clean. Is that something you just started rocking, or have I missed that?
I've had it on since spring. In spring training, I was wearing JP's, and then I think he wanted his back, so I had to switch it up.
Feeling the swag.
Like borrowing JP's, though, being like, do you mind if I just need a little bit of swag for this game? Do you mind if dabble?
I mean, he's got a couple of them, so he had a few to spare for a loner.
Hey, here's my question. So you seem very chill but extroverted. I don't know if that's the right read on you, but it's one that I've gathered on you. You do post a lot to TikTok. You also are with some teammates that are a little more introverted. Here's my question for you. Have you ever tried to make a TikTok video, handed your phone to a teammate, and been like, can you help me with this? And he refused.
I haven't been on TikTok in a while. I was doing that during like spring training, after I got drafted, and I've kind of taken a step back, but I had some fun with it. It was fun. But yeah, now I just kind of watch TikToks. I haven't been posting too much since the last couple of years or so.
You added a new pitch. I'm sure you've been asked this question several times this year, but when did you feel confident saying, all right, man, let's give this a go?
It took like a month or so during the off season to get good feel for it. But once I got to spring training and started throwing it in bullpens and live ABs and stuff, I felt pretty comfortable with it. So it's been a big pitch for me this year, and results have been great with it, so I'm really happy with where it's at.
Now, you guys know as players, and all of you are familiar from doing this even in college, to just ignore outside noise. But there was some outside noise at the start of the season. Even though it was very early, it wasn't the start that you guys wanted. Things have since turned. You had a series sweep against the Reds. You took 2-3 against the Rockies. You are hot going in to Arlington with a chance to take sole possession of first place in the West. What's the vibe of the clubhouse like? I mean, what's the mood like for players?
I mean, we feel good. It's you know, it was pretty early when we were struggling. It was a week or two in, so nobody was panicking or nothing. But it definitely feels good coming in with some wins over the last week and starting to swing it pretty good, and we've been throwing it well. So it's I think we're all excited, and we got a lot of baseball left, so there's a long ways to go.
And we see it sometimes when guys are struggling at the plate, they go into the dugout, they're looking at the tablet trying to figure out, okay, what are my mechanics looking like? Do pitchers do that as well? When you feel like you're a little loose on a pitch here and there, maybe your mechanics feel a bit off, do you guys look at the tablets, or do you rely just on feel and going back to your fundamentals?
I think it kind of varies for who it is. I like to look at it. I like to look at, like, if I missed my spot where I'm at, or if it was a full count walk or something, if I got the call or not, I like to look at that. And then it also will tell me like the movement on my pitches and stuff. So I like to, you know, see if something's feeling really good that day, just kind of validate it. And if it's not moving, then I can try to make an adjustment between innings. But I like to look at the iPad. I think others don't look at it quite as much, like maybe Kirby or Castillo. They don't really look too much during the game, but I know I like to look, and I know Logan does. So it kind of varies per person.
What's your feeling heading onto the mound for one of your starts? Obviously, we know Logan has a little bit of an alter ego, maybe gets a little serious. Do you feel like you just kind of let loose? Do you get nervous still? What's it like?
I try to be the same person every day. So I'm usually coming to the clubhouse like same as today, you know, a day that I'm not pitching as, you know, I try to keep it the same on days that I do pitch, but, there is, you know, a little bit of extra nerves and jitters just knowing that you're about to go pitch. But, like I said, I try to be the same every day. And, I think that helps me keep it loose on the mound.
Bryce, I come from a football background, and every week before games, they give us this big scouting report. All right, obviously ours is different. This is what they do on third down. This is what this guy likes to do. How in-depth are your scouting reports? I mean, you know, every 5 days you're up, do you get a scouting report on the lineup, and how deep is it?
Yeah, so I usually, you know, maybe 2 hours before the game, we'll go through our report with the catcher and pitching coaches and stuff, and just kind of go get a game plan together for each batter. But throughout the week, I can watch film on, you know, who I'm going to face this next week, and watch film on them and see, you know, where their swing and miss is or where their damage is and kind of what not to do versus what to do. So it's not like anything crazy, but it's just, you know, the guys that, if I know I need to throw a fastball up to a guy, then, you know, I can emphasize that. But for the most part, I try to pitch to my strengths.
Hey, it would be pretty cool being part of a group that is so dominant. I mean, the Mariners have one of the best starting rotations. I would say one of the best pitching staffs in all of baseball. Do you ever sit back on days you aren't pitching and, you know, look at Logan out there or Castillo or anyone and just say, God, what a filthy pitch. Like, this is pretty cool to sit back and watch some of these guys.
Yeah, for sure. I think every day, you know, there's somebody on the mound that is going to go out and compete and is one of the best arms in the world. So it's really cool to watch, and, you know, you can learn something different from everybody. So it's like, every day, whenever I'm not playing, you know, it's getting out to watch and seeing them compete and seeing them have fun and do their thing. It's a lot of fun.
I would assume at one point, all you guys had to swing the bat, maybe in high school or whatnot. Who do you think would be the best in the box right now as a batter? Out of the pitching staff, sorry.
We kind of had this debate in spring. There's a video that surfaced of me hitting a home run in the minor leagues in BP, and then they brought up Logan. He hit a walk-off home run in high school. Those were the only two we had footage of, though. So I think it's got to be one of us, because if I mean, everybody else can talk and say they can hit and all, but if I don't have no footage, I don't know how I'm supposed to believe them.
I think that's fair. See, but you. So I remember being at a Seahawks practice, and they'd have it be like, okay, the first player bumped. Do you remember? Did they do this when you were there? Like the first non-kicker to kick,
yeah,
and like practice would end early or whatever, and they'd go through like 15, 20 players before anyone could do it. I think you guys should just kind of try it.
Let's have a derby.
I think you should just, yeah, have like a derby or whatever with just the pitchers and just kind of see what happens. I mean, I feel like Castillo could be good. You see some potential with him?
Yeah, maybe. He actually probably has some at-bats from before they changed the rule. There might be some footage of that, but yeah, no, that's a good idea. We need to do pitchers BP and see who's got it. But I don't know. We did that in the minor leagues. They don't really do it up here, though.
Hey, last year, I think we saw 11 players make their debut on this Mariners roster. What is that like for those guys? How are they welcomed to the ball club? Just walk me through that process.
Yeah, it was a cool year. There's a lot of guys that came up from Double A, from Arkansas. I think the way we do spring training really helps with, you know, having guys come up and make them feel like they're welcome, just because in spring training, we, you know, you kind of get to know everybody. We have people go up and introduce themselves and do interviews and stuff in front of the team. And, it makes it feel like you already know everybody whenever you get called up. So it was something that was, it was really easy for me. And then plus, I think just about all those guys that came up were with me in double A at the beginning of the year or the year prior. So it's a pretty smooth transaction.
He is Mariners starter Bryce Miller. And Bryce, I know you're still a few hours away from home, but glad that you could be back in Texas. Hopefully you get some good food or whatever while you're out there, and have fun in this series, man. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
All right. Thanks again to Bryce Miller joining us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. The Mariners Spotlight presented by Muckleshoot Casino Resort and by Pacific Lamp and Supply. Still to come in the dugout, Rick Riz, voice of the Mariners, is going to join us at 1:30. We're going to talk about our expectations for this upcoming series. It's early, right? But you're still hopeful your team can get a sweep or get into sole possession of first place in the AL West. So all of that coming your way later. First, though, we're going to take a look around MLB, and that is coming your way next.
You're listening to The Dugout every Tuesday at 1 with Bumpin' Stacy on Seattle Sports, the home of the Mariners.
Taking a look around baseball, we're going to start with the Mariners, though. They've reinstated Colin Snyder, a knee injury from the 15-day IL. He's been optioned to AAA Tacoma. He was removed from the Mariners' April 7th game against Milwaukee after taking a line drive off his knee. So good news for Colin coming off the 15-day IL.
Yeah, that's why I don't play baseball. I'd rather get hit by a human being.
I would too.
Not baseball.
Honestly, I don't want it. I don't want anything to do with it. We talked about Aaron Boone's ejection from a game for the Yankees earlier in Bumpin' Stacy. If you guys missed any of it, basically a fan behind the dugout yelled something at the home plate ump, who then assumed it was Aaron Boone, who had been issued a warning that if he said anything else, he was gone. Bad timing, because the ump hears something, thinks it's Aaron, ejects him, and obviously it's become a controversy. So now this is the new bit. We have sound from Aaron Boone talking about how he feels about that ejection 24 hours later.
You got ejected yesterday and you didn't say anything. Does it still feel ridiculous?
Yes.
What's the next steps for you to right the wrong?
I have no idea. I don't really have any recourse for it. I think the league is upset about it.
Do you walk up to Hunter and give him like a handshake before the game?
I never really take these things too personally. I enjoy most all the umpires, to be honest. I wasn't even upset with Hunter. I just said, you can make the call too. To which he came back pretty aggressively,
yeah,
right away. I agreed with him. It was a good explanation. The velocity and the vigor with which he came back, I didn't think was right. But his answer was excellent. That's why I said, okay, we're good.
Yeah, you gave him the thumbs up.
I wish I would have just thrown the, like, I want to challenge that, and not left.
All that fan said was, let's go home plate. Do you know that guy that was sitting there?
I don't.
We thought we should have invited him and just brought him in on camera here.
Yeah.
So there's going to be no picture of you, him, and the fan at home plate today?
Maybe we'll set that up at some point.
I would love it if they would set that up, not only just to kind of iron things out, but it's just become like a funny story for the entire year. Not funny for Aaron Boone in the moment when he was ejected in the first inning, but funny in hindsight.
Yeah, it's nice that he's able to cool down after 24 hours and be like, look, man, it is what it is. He made the call, gave him a thumbs up. He just didn't read the room correctly there. This reminds me of, I have a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old, and their voices are kind of similar.
Ooh.
And one would be talking crazy to mom, and I'm like, what'd you say, so-and-so? They're like, it wasn't me. Yeah. It was so-and-so. I was like, my bad. Then I have to pipe down and apologize.
You're an only child, so you didn't have siblings. Have you ever been in trouble maybe from a friend for something you didn't do, but you got blamed for?
I got blamed for everything because I did it. It was me.
The White Sox have played 22 games, and they are, you want to guess their record or can you see it?
White Sox? Nah. It's there, but I haven't looked at it. They've won.
Just guess how many wins.
14 wins.
They're 3-19. They've been shut out in more than a third of their games to start the season, which is 8 times. No team in baseball history has been shut out that many times to start a season. Dang. Chicago has been shut out more times in 2024, 8, since the Braves have since 2022. That stat
Goodness
to me
gracious.
Is wild, because you think that the Braves have been amazing. They've been one of the best teams in the league for the last couple years. You would still think they'd had, over that time, since 2022, more than 7 shutouts. You're telling me they'd only been shut out 7 times?
That's ridiculous.
God, I knew they were good, but I didn't know that they were just unstoppable.
The Braves were like my, not my introduction to baseball, but some of my better memories, man, with Chipper Jones and David Justice.
Sense.
Like, that was a good time.
Yeah, I feel like they curated a huge fan base during that era in general, but Man, I can't believe that since 2022.
That's crazy.
Curtis, can I ask you a question? Can I pull you on a mic for a minute? I know the White Sox I'm going a couple years back. They had kind of promised fans like a rebuild and then kind of gave up on it. What's going on? Like, why are they so atrocious?
I think they kind of...
Is it related to that?
Yeah, they traded away a bunch of guys at last year's trade deadline, and they just have nothing going for them right now in terms of just major league talent. Which is weird because just a few years ago, they had a really good young core of players, and that just doesn't exist at this time. I think Luis Robert's not playing to start the season, and then, they just got nothing going on. I'm looking at their roster right now. Martin Maldonado, their starting catcher, hitting .053. Their starting first baseman, Andrew Vaughn, .158. Andrew Benintendi in left field, hitting .158. Robbie Grossman in right, .182.
Is anyone over the Mendoza?
Their best everyday hitter is Gavin Sheets, their DH, at .254 with an .858 OPS. So,
which is actually pretty good.
Not bad.
The only thing they do have genuinely going for them is the Campfire Milkshake. Which they introduced this year. That's kind of it. It's the only good news.
Campfire milkshake?
It's a milkshake. It's a chocolate, like, s'mores milkshake. Yeah. Exactly. On top of it is graham crackers, a toasted, like a smoky toasted marshmallow, pieces of chocolate. It looks like this is horrible radio, but I'm just showing Bump a picture.
Oh, that looks bomb.
It does look amazing. So, like, I mean,
1,500 calories, but it looks bomb.
White Sox fans, at least you have that.
One guy on the 2024 White Sox that Mariners fans are very familiar with would be Chris Flexen.
Yeah.
And you want to know how many runs... how many runs the White Sox have scored in his five appearances this season?
Zero.
Three.
One. They scored one run in his five appearances. And that one run came on April 12th in an 11-1 loss.
Oh, my God. I mean, to be fair, though, Chris Flexen then in that start gave up quite a few
runs. Flexen a couple of years ago for the Mariners have a stretch where he got just zero help at all.
Yes.
Poor guy.
Someone off to a tough start also, though I think he'll be just fine. Jackson Holliday. He's 1-30 to start his big league career with 16 strikeouts. He spoke with the Athletic's Sam Bloom about his slow start. He said, whenever you're struggling a little bit, you just start searching and start creating little habits. I'm just making some adjustments because you've got to. It's a lot more difficult than AAA. I don't think there's many people in the big leagues who haven't struggled. It just happens to be at the beginning. Other notable players with slow starts to their career, Willie Mays, who was 1-26 in 51. Cal Ripken Jr., 3-33 in 81, and Ken Griffey Jr., 1-18 to start his career in 89. Worked out okay for those three guys.
Yeah, I don't hear 1-30, though. And, I hope it works out for him, man, because he's got that last name. So there's a little bit of pressure that comes along with it. But hopefully he figures it out and gets things going.
You know what I do love seeing, though, because we've seen it with the Mariners, and I know that this happens with other teams. When someone finally gets a hit after a long drought and then they see the first base coach and there's kind of that like pat on the back, like you did it, or like you see the dugout just like,
everyone knows. I wonder if they don't talk about it like they do when pitchers are, pitching a no hitter. You just leave it alone.
You got to not. Your position coach says something, or not position coach, but like your,
hitting coach.
Yeah, I don't think you'd want to like. You're like, hey, buddy, I think you're due for a hit.
Hey, Jackson,
man.
Did you know you're 1-30?
I'd walk by and be like, hey, today's your day, kid. You know, just keep it real simple.
Yeah, I'm sure they say that regularly. I would hope so. But yeah, I wouldn't.
Well, hey, man, hit the dang ball. What are you doing?
Jackson, I'm doing my job.
Yeah. Why haven't you gotten a hit? Can you imagine?
These entitled 20-year-olds.
Let me tell you what.
Slacking on the job.
I will feel happy for him when he gets that second one. Mets TV reporter, this story is from a little while ago. It's just really funny. His name's Steve Gelbs. He took on his most daring challenge yet, which is Cincinnati's hot food vending machine located in the tunnel of Great American Ballpark. Take a listen.
One of the keys to my job is to give everyone a sense of place who's not here with us in Cincinnati. And, you know, I don't want to oversell this or overdo it, but I think that we found maybe the most vile thing that we have experienced in nearly two decades on the air. This is a vending machine right outside the truck. I know everybody's really into the new food offerings here at all the ballparks, but they don't really seem to care about our crew. This is what you can get in vending machines. Burritos, hamburgers, chili cheese dogs, tuna fish, and... You know, I have not seen a soul go to that vending machine and take something out. So I thought to myself, it is my job, just as a journalist, to do it for all of you, because I didn't want the guys in our truck to experience. So I've got a cheeseburger here, a chicken salad sandwich, but the one that I heated up before was a chicken rice and cheese burrito. Okay. By the way, I checked the ingredients on the back. I counted them, did a rough count. There's over 90 ingredients in this. I'm doing it.
Oh, Steve.
I want the update from 3 hours later. Also, we all know what the danger zone is when it comes to meat, right? How do you avoid falling into that in a vending machine?
Yeah, we all are victims of eating hella processed food.
Yes.
That's like processed three times right there.
Truly.
Does the machine turn off at night? Well, or is it just constantly running?
I was wondering it. I wonder if the machine is basically, like, you know, if you were to go to any fast food store and they have pre-made burgers, everything's wrapped, but they have them basically under heat lamps, mm-hmm. and they just get ready to grab them and put them in bags. So I was thinking, what if they just restock it before every game, shortly before the game starts, and you just pay and it kind of slides out? Either way, that is a lot of meat product in a vending machine, and I'm very uncomfortable with
this,
that.
This Steve Gelbs guy is also partly responsible for one of this show's favorite sound bites.
Now what? Was the eighth inning?
Ninth inning?
Seven.
Basically the eighth, Steve.
I love that cut. It's one of my favorite of all time. You are listening to The Dugout. Voice of the Mariners, Rick Riz, joins us next. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Dugout every Tuesday at 1 with Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports, the home of the Mariners.
Joining us now on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline, Rick Riz, part of Mariners Play-by-Play. Rick, how's it going?
Hey, Stacey, how you doing? Everything's great. We're in the great indoors here at the ballpark, the Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas. Not freezing our you-know-what's off the last few days. In Denver, Colorado, we played in the snow on Saturday night. But it's about 72 degrees, very comfortable.
Yeah.
And getting ready for a big series. How are you doing?
I'm well. It was so weird to see people. I obviously watched the series from home. It was so weird to see snow in the stands and then people wearing T-shirts. That Denver weather, man, very weird. Let's talk about this upcoming Rangers series, though. What's a conversation Bump and I are going to have in a little bit? It's very early, so it's hard to attach too much weight to a series, but it's also our first chance to see them take on an AL West opponent. What's something you're going to be watching for in this one?
Well, I tell you what, when you play the Texas Rangers, first of all, they're defending World Series champs, so they got that going for them. You got to score runs here because that's what they're going to do. They got a great lineup with Simeon and Seager. The kid, Evan Carter, was a big boost for him last year. Adolis Garcia, Logo, right down that lineup. And they got a couple of kids in there besides Carter. They have Wyatt Langford, Jonah Heim. So you have to score runs. And that's what the Mariners did in Denver. They scored a bunch of runs. They won 7-0. They won 10-2. They lost a close one. So that's what I'm going to be watching. Mariners offense the last six games, Stacey, as a team, this is awesome, hitting .291. .389 base percentage, .461 slug, and .851 OPS. That's number two in baseball. The slug is number one in baseball over the past week. So they turned down the offense at the right time, starting with the three-game sweep in, against Cincinnati at home and then winning two out of three against Colorado. They did what they had to do to gain some momentum going into this series. So they got to score runs. They're going to do that. And the pitching has been great over the last 10 games as well.
Hey, Riz, Stacey and I were having a conversation trying to figure out why when we talk about this rotation, a lot of people leave out Castillo. Like, we talk about him, but we highlight Gilbert and Kirby and Miller. What do you think it is? What are we missing? Why are we so disrespectful when it comes to Castillo?
Not me, guys. He's still one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. He got off to a slow start. Very small sample size, and he wasn't getting that fastball and the sinker where he wanted to, and now he's coming off that seven scoreless inning stint against the Rockies in Denver on a night where it snowed all day long, snowed during the evening, and he just beat the weather. He said, I just didn't want to think about it. But, no, you can't forget about him. He had a quality start against the Cubs, so you saw him starting to bounce back after the first a few rough starts, and then he was Luis Castillo again. You got to give these guys a chance to bounce back. It's still early in the season, and man, did he ever in that last start. So you really can't forget about him. Everything is magnified, I know, in the early part of the year. And also that Bryce Miller got off to such a tremendous start, and Logan Gilbert, too. These guys aren't walking anybody. Logan tonight, 1-0 with a 2.33 ERA, four walks out of the season and four starts. You can never forget The Rock, and now he's seeing The Rock again, which is great. He's leading the pack.
I will admit that I thought this bullpen would struggle more without Matt Brash and without Santos, and yet they've been pretty solid. Who do you give kind of a tip of the cap to when you look at that group?
Ryan Stanek. Munoz is Munoz. He's going to be great no matter where Scott puts him in high leverage situation. If it's the eighth inning facing the middle part of the order, that's when Munoz gets in there. But without Ryan Stanek, I think this bullpen would be in a heap of trouble, because with Stanek, now he can take care of the ninth inning or the eighth inning. So you have two horses at the end of your bullpen, and it still sets up Trent Thornton, Taylor Saucedo, Gabe Spire, and the other guys have done a nice job as well at different times, Cody Bolton and Colin Snyder and the other guys that round out the bullpen. But you got to give credit to Ryan Stanek being there at the right time, being available. I give Jerry DePoto, Justin Hollander, whoever it was, to pick up Stanek during the middle part of spring training, a lot of credit, because he's been a key reason why the bullpen is still getting the job done.
There's some players that I just identify with for some reason with no explanation, Riz, and Stanek is one of those guys. I can't even tell you why.
just vibes.
I just love him, man.
He can pitch.
Yes, he can. What do you think of Polanco's year so far? Again, like most players on this roster, it started off pretty slow. Then he has his moments where you see the potential. What do you make of his year so far?
It's just he's just trying to get his feet settled. You know, he's been around for a long time, 10 years with the Twins, and he's going to get it just like the other guys when they get off to a slow start. Polanco's going to get going. He's a switch hitter. He'll get going from both sides of the plate. He's a key part and component of the Mariners' offense. Just a slow start at the time, he's just not there, and it wasn't there for Julio Rodriguez the first couple of weeks of the season. Now we're seeing Julio hit the ball hard. J.P. Crawford has been around for a long time, got off a slow start, but now he's really turned things around. J.P. in his first 16 games hitting 155, last six games hitting close to 300. Julio, first 16 games, 186, last six games hitting 481. So you're going to see Polanco take off and get in a stretch where, you know, he's getting his hits, one hit, two hit a game, and driving the ball out of the ballpark. I'm not worried about Jorge Polanco. He'll be fine.
It's been nice to see. I mean, you mentioned some of those names. It's been nice to see a few of them heat up. Cal Raleigh, especially. I mean, we were talking about this the other day, Rick, where I'm not looking for Cal to lead the team in average by any means, nor should anyone. But you know he's going to be one of your leaders in home runs. And, you know, that slow start, you kind of miss that power. What have you seen change for him?
Yeah, I think he's just being really selective right now. Yeah. He's not missing his pitches. I think in the early part of the year, Stacey, guys were missing pitches out over the plate, and a lot of times you don't get that pitch back. You know, these guys are really good pitchers in the big leagues, and every at bat you might get one pitch to hit. Well, Cal's getting it. He's not missing it. He's hitting it a long way. A couple of nights ago, batting left-handed, he hit an opposite field home run to left field at Coors Field, which is 350 feet down that left field line on a night where it was really, really cold, and he still got it out. Then he hit another home run the next day, and that was, by the way, historically, a home run number 7,500 in the history of the Mariners. But Cal Raleigh has great power from both sides of the plate. Five home runs to lead the ball club, 11 runs batted in. He's off to a really good start, and I think he's going to stay that way the rest of the year. But he's just not missing his pitches. He's got his timing down. The other guys in the process of still trying to get to where Cal is right now.
He is Mariners broadcaster Rick Riz. Rick, thanks so much for joining us for the Dugout. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Riz. Yeah.
Hey, anytime, Stacey, anytime, Bump. It's going to be a heck of a series tonight against the Rangers, just a half game back. Logan Gilbert against Dave Dunning. It's going to be a lot of fun.
We can't wait. Thanks, Riz.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, speaking of Riz helping me with a little toss to break there, a little bit of a tease, we are going to talk about this series. How should we be watching this one? Now, it's only April 23rd, so you aren't attaching a ton of weight to it, but it's also the Mariners' first time facing off against a divisional foe. So what are we watching for? It's coming up next in the Dugout.
You're listening to The Dugout, every Tuesday at 1 with Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports, the home of the Mariners.
Thank you to Mariners starter Bryce Miller and voice of the Mariners Rick Riz for joining us on The Dugout. I'm Stacey Ross, Michael Bumpus with me. It's still Bump and Stacey, but we're wrapping up with Mariners as part of The Dugout. And we're going to talk about not only how we should be watching this series, but how the Mariners win this series. Bump, the M's went 0-6 in Arlington last season. We don't want a repeat of that, so I'm going to start with some sound from Jeff Passan, who was on with Brock and Salk, talking about one key for this series.
That's the wild part. Like, Taylor Saucedo's been phenomenal. Miller's been really good. Like, they just, year after year, it's like, where did this guy come from? And what sort of pixie dust are they sprinkling him with? But how are they going to handle those late innings against, you know, Simeon and Seager, and Nate Lowe is now back, and Carter and Wyatt Langford and Jim Heim? Like, we can go on and on about the number. I didn't even mention Adolis Garcia. Like, this lineup, top to bottom, is nasty.
Jeff Passan said that he was surprised at how good the bullpen has been without Brash, without Santos. They obviously won't have either of those two back. And they're also facing a tougher lineup and a very deep lineup. So, Bump, the key to me and one of the things I'll be watching for is this in this series is whether they can stack up a few runs early in games.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I remember one, I forgot what game it was, but they scored three runs in the first. And before that game, they had scored two runs the whole season in the first. So them getting off to a hot start isn't typical, but we know that they're capable of doing it. I'm listening to Passan just roll off these names, and I'm like, goodness gracious.
I know. He keeps going. And I didn't even mention Garcia.
Garcia would be one of my favorite players if he didn't play for the Rangers. I love Garcia. But, yeah, it's going to be – look, we said this before. The arms in this rotation should give you a chance. If – the Rangers come out and jump out to a 3 or 4 run lead early, that's when I start to go into a dark place and think negative thoughts. We don't want to see that. They're capable of getting themselves out of that. But what we've seen this year so far is that when they do get in those holes, then pitching starts to press a little bit and you get out of who you are. Whether you're up or down, just continue to be who you are and have the plate discipline. I talked about this earlier. 93 walks the Rangers have, fifth most in MLB. Just be patient. The stats tell you that you're going to have opportunities. So it's going to be a tough one. I don't care what their record is. You just read that lineup, and you know you got to be ready to go. Just like if they were to sit here and read off the Astros lineup. They're not playing good ball, but they're still hitting the ball. You got to respect anybody you play, especially the defending world champs.
Tell me if I am being selective in my logic here, okay? Because the Mariners went 0-6 in Arlington last season, because this is the defending World Series champ, and because the Mariners' offense has been a little up and down, I'm not going to read into a series in which they're swept by the Rangers. Mm-hmm. I'll be disappointed. I'll be bummed. I'll have some critical things to say, I'm sure, but I'm not going to be like, oh, this team is bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't apply that to the reverse. If they sweep the Rangers, I will read into that. Is that bias? Is it wrong? I know I'm not applying it evenly, but...
It's biased. It's wrong.
Sure.
But
it's so right.
It works.
It makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. I'm with you. Here's the thing is I won't, if they get swept, I'm not going to say it's okay. You have to break down, okay, why did they get swept?
Right.
If this team gets swept, there's two things that are going to be for sure. The bats weren't hot and the pitching wasn't what it usually is. That's typically what it comes down to. I just want to see a gritty performance. You know, I don't want to see, well, there was one game where they allowed the Rangers to score 16 runs last year. Like, come on, like, let's keep things manageable. Yeah, they were off. Let's keep things manageable. I don't know what it is about Arlington, Texas, but for some reason last year, they just could not get right. So I never accept losses. I don't say, oh, it's okay. You put up a good fight. I mean, I guess you say that at some point, but I don't want to say that. I want to to look at a couple moments and say, oh, man, if we would have just got a run here, mm-hmm. we would have been in that. But before game one starts, we going in, man. We trying to knock heads off, man. Like, let's go in with a confidence. Even if people think it's false confidence because you beat the Rockies and you took care of the Reds, I don't care. They're still pro teams. Use that. Sometimes you got to convince yourself as an athlete and as a team that you're better than who you really are just to kind of get things going. I'm all for them convincing themselves they're better than who they really are, if that helps. Now you got to play the ball game, and we'll find out here pretty soon exactly how they stack up in game one. But going into this game, they should be confident.
All right, John Morosi, talk about what goes into beating the Rangers.
The number one and number two hitters for Texas, they're always the ones that I'm focused on the most, Semien and Seager. And if you can control them and then make sure that when Garcia comes to the plate that the bases are as empty as possible, that is a really key element of success. And certainly Nathaniel Lowe is back in the lineup and getting his way back into that routine. Of course, over the weekend was the first game action he'd had all season long because of an oblique injury. Wyatt Langford is still finding his way as a young major league hitter. Going to be a star, I think, but not quite yet. Very similar, and actually he's playing better right now than what Jackson Holliday has played for Baltimore. Those are the guys that I key on. If Seattle can control Semien and Seager, then you've got options when Adolis Garcia comes to the plate.
All right, so Bump, building off that sound from John Morosi, when we ask ourselves, how should we be watching this series or what are we watching for? I feel like you can't go anywhere except for Mariners starting pitching.
Yeah, it starts there. I mean, he mentioned, well, you just take out the first two in the lineup. You got Semien and Seager. And logic says you make sure that when Garcia is at the plate, things the bases aren't jacked. That sounds simple enough, but it all comes down to execution. I think sometimes too, you gotta be a bit lucky. You gotta find these guys on a day where the bats just aren't hot, where they're making poor decisions. And how do you do that? Man, I think obviously you try to expand the zone as much as you can. You get guys chasing, which I feel like the staff has been pretty good at doing at times so far this year. That's gonna be your key to at least the beginning of the game. This lineup is good enough to where they're going to adjust. You always see when guys get called, a strike that's slightly outside the zone, they look back at the ump and say, all right, that's how we're calling it. That's going to be a strike. Even when, there's a ball thrown, they're checking. Okay, so that's ball, right? They're collecting all this data. When you have a lineup like the Rangers do, you can never relax. But it would be nice to get through the first three in the order and establish yourself and let these guys know that who's on the mound? Logan today? Mm-hmm. Logan's ready to go.
Yeah, it's going to be the best lineup that any of these starters have faced. And these starters have all faced all these guys before. Like, yeah. It's not anything new. But there is some juice that you can add to a turnaround and some weight you can add to a turnaround when you do it against a good team, regardless of what the Rangers' record is, right? Sweeping the Reds, I think the Reds have a path to being a playoff team. But, like, sweeping the Reds, great. Beating a bad Rockies team, like really dominating them in two games, fantastic. But this is where you do kind of, beat your chest a little bit if you mm-hmm. head out of Arlington with a sweep or take two of three against this team. This is, you've mentioned it a million times, record aside, a very good offense.
This is the type of game where no matter what happens, you have to find positives and accept negatives. Because this is a barometer, this is a test, the first real test of the season. It's easy to look at the beginning of the season and be disappointed with, the performances that they did have. But we're realizing that the Guardians are a good ball club. Toronto is decent. Boston is decent. So hopefully we're looking at those series in a different light and saying, okay, beginning of the season, things weren't working. Those teams are better than what we thought they were going to be. I think the Guardians, everyone pretty assumed that they were going to be decent. But now everything isn't fixed, but there's more order to what's going on mm-hmm. here with this ball club. So now can you take everything that's happened and just look like an efficient team? You can lose this game and still play some good baseball and not look sloppy. I mean, the games that I hate saying I don't mind losing, but don't bother me as much are the games that are like 3-4, 2-3.
Yeah.
You know, those are the games where I'm like, they just got us.
Yep.
If it gets out of hand, then I'm worried. 10-1, 10-2, or something like that.
Then it's messy.
I get a bit worried.
Lineup is out. Crawford leading off. Rodriguez, Raleigh, Haniger, Polanco, France, your DH, Garver, Rayleigh, and Rojas Gilbert on the mound. Mitch Garver making his return to Texas for the first time since leaving in free agency. he might be. I know all eyes are on Julio. Is Julio going to get his first home run of the season? Is he going to not chase quite as much? Are you going to get some extra base hits? Like, those are questions that I have asked ahead of every game. But maybe because of Garver's time with Texas, I'm just curious about him in this game, in this series. Bump, what about you?
Yeah, it's always nice to have a little side story to what's going on.
Revenge game. All right,
come on, Mitch. Switch the jersey up. Get that production going. He should have the speech before the game. I don't know if they do that in baseball. Too many games have speeches before the game.
Can you imagine? You're like, oh, my God, this is our 14th speech goodness. Of the year, and it's May. Stop giving speeches. I'd probably be giving
that'd
a lot
get
of
annoying
speeches.
For sure.
I don't know. I mean, that'd sometimes maybe you need someone to fire you up.
Nah, as a coach, when I coach high school ball, I'm good for like 4 or 5 speeches. After that, it's all right, boys. I didn't use all my speeches.
Yeah.
It's up to you.
I think one of the reasons that I'm also watching Garver, too, I have all the confidence in the world that Julio will be just fine.
Yeah.
The problem is my bar for him is so high that instead of being like, is he going to contribute? It's, man, I really hope he has multiple hits. Mm-hmm. Or like, man, I really hope he gets some extra base hits instead of like little blop singles or bloop singles. But one of the storylines that I've liked following over the season is what the new additions have done. I'm counting Haniger as a new addition, even though he's been here before. Mm-hmm. And I'm giving a check, A+. Like, so far, that's worked out just fine. Garver and particularly Raley, I'm still watching for.
Yeah, you're still waiting for them to get going. Raley's had moments. He's got a triple. Yeah, he has a triple. Garver has, what, one bomb so far this year? Again, imagine they've played, what, they won 5 out of the last 6, I believe 7 out of the last 10. Mm-hmm. If Garver and Raley get going, again, you just enhance this offense, enhance this team. So there are still some things we're waiting to see.
Yeah.
We got Julio hitting a bomb. We got Garver and Raley kind of being who we thought they're going to be and continue to be good defensively.
Someone said, Garver's getting a World Series ring. I hardly think it's going to be a revenge game. I mean, that's true.
He's ringed up.
That's true. But it's it's not really a revenge series at all. But I think it's fun to have a theme. I like having something that I'm tracking in this. And for me, it's going to be your 7 and 8. It's going to be Garver. It's going to be Raley. I'm just curious.
You like a good theme party. And theme pictures, too.
I love a theme party, and I love a theme for a series. And my theme for the series is outside additions, seeing what those guys do. I'm not going to apologize for that. I'm just not. Thank you to our guest today, Bryce Miller, joining us earlier, and then Rick Riz joining us to preview this series. This has been The Dugout. Don't go anywhere.